Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My check engine light's on.
That could hurt your gas mileage. The AutoZone free fix finder service can help find the fix for free.
Get in zone.
This whole report for free?
That's right. Printed and on your phone for free.
But what if the fix is too tough?
We'll recommend a local shop. Fix Finder, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
The NFL draft is now officially open.
Welcome to another episode of Draft Season. It's brought to you by Visa. Visa looks at over 500 data points on transactions to help prevent fraud so you can worry less and focus on this podcast. Shop with Visa because security looks good on you. You might already hear the win, folks. John Schmelk, Tony Pauline, literally on the concourse here at Whitney Hancock Stadium at the end of the second practice of day one of the Senior Bowl down here in Mobile, Alabama. Big episode today. We'll cover the first day of practice here at the Senior Bowl, and then we'll give you everything we saw in Frisco, Texas at the Shrine Game over the weekend. Tony, good to see you, man. How are you?
Busy 4 days. We still got two more days left. I mean, we had some nice weather here, which is nice. It wasn't the 90-degree suntan weather from a year ago, but it wasn't the rainy, miserable 3 days that we had two years ago. So I'll take it.
Yeah, this might actually be the best weather that I've ever had down here. It's about 60 degrees. Yeah. So, you know, you say suntan weather. For me, it's sunburn weather. But a lot of good action out there today, Tony. Let's start. We'll work backwards. So we'll start the second practice, which literally just ended. The guys are still out there on the field behind us. And then we'll work to the first practice and work backwards to the Shrine Bowl. All right, let's start. I feel like we should start with the offensive line group, right? Because I think it's probably the best overall group here, and I think both sets from both practices were impressive. But we'll start with the latest group, and Tyler Guyton, I thought, was really, really strong out there. Tackle, we see all the athleticism. We also saw some technical stuff, too, that has to be improved upon a little bit, but he's definitely going to be a top 3-4 tackle chosen in this year's draft, probably a top 20 pick.
Yeah, absolutely top 20 pick. I mean, played solely right tackle today. But as you said, I mean, you could see the athleticism, the movement skills. Even the knee bend was really good. He's got to work on his hand placement. Sometimes the hands got outside the defenders, which doesn't work. But he never really got beat. I mean, he stays square. He's patient. That's what you want to see with these guys. I think there was one rep where he kind of overextended in the block. But you saw a lot of patience, which is what you want to see from these guys. I mean, I had reported back in Sports Skeeda in October, November, that area scouts were saying Guyton could be a top 10 pick. I don't know about top 10, but I think top 20, top possibly top 15, a lot of tackle-needy teams, and those two top tackles are going to come off the board. Alton and Fashano are going to come off the board very quickly.
Yeah, and you can find all of Tony's work, Avi, on Sports Kita, and I am, of course, on Giants.com. You can check out all my practice reports, and if you go to the Giants Huddle Podcast, we have a bunch of interviews up from the Shrine game as well, and I'll have ones from the Senior Bowl up later on in the week. Next to him, a couple LSU players up front, Tony, had really nice days today, and we'll now transition to offensive line and defensive line. Charles Turner III did a really nice job. He was guard and center today, and then his teammate, Jordan Jefferson, did a really nice job getting after the passer.
Yeah, Turner's not the biggest guy in the world, barely 300 pounds, but he's fundamentally sound. He's smart. He stayed square. He showed a lot of patience and did a good job against some of the bigger DTs like McKinley of Texas A&M, was able to square into him and basically hold the point and protect the passer, if you will, or best you can in team. And you know, you mentioned Jordan Jefferson. Jefferson showed a lot of power, a lot of explosion. He was getting a lot of push up the field, was bull rushing the blockers off the line of scrimmage to collapse the pocket, looked great in drills, looked great in one-on-one, was not as good during team, but I think Jefferson really started the week well here.
Yeah, absolutely. And then a couple of others, defensive linemen that are playing next to him, had a couple of good games. Darius Robinson out of Missouri, Tony. He's versatile, 6'5", 285, inside, outside. And then from Florida State, he's a transfer. He's someone that literally you can't stop looking at him. Once he starts going, Braden Fisk, an interior undersized guy, but boy, he's got some juice getting upfield.
Transfer from Western Michigan, more of your one gap sort of three technique tackle. And I'm sure, you know, if you watch Florida State this year, if you watch them in the ACC title game, you saw number 55 who was consistently omnipresent around the action, making plays in the backfield, outside the box, in pursuit. He's a guy who plays like his hair is on fire. He is a go, go, go guy. He is a decent athlete with an incredible motor. And I don't know. I mean, I think he's going to be overdrafted because I think what's going to happen is some defensive coordinator, some defensive coach is going to fall in love with his tape and with the person. But he's played really well. Darius Robinson, I mean, you want to talk about good athletes. I mean, he's a guy who came in at 286. I think his playing weight's a little bit less than that. Has been used standing over tackle. Was used today at defensive end. Inside at defensive tackle as well. Showed a lot of athleticism. Just got to get a little bit stronger. I don't know that 286 weight is his natural playing weight, but he showed a lot of good things throughout practice.
And you were impressed at linebacker, Tony. We'll stick on defense with Nathaniel Watson out of Mississippi State.
Made a lot of athletic plays. Had one play where he basically shot the gap, went in the backfield, and just blew the play up. And that's Nathaniel Watson. If you watch him at Mississippi State, went back for a second senior season. He's a very athletic guy. Not eye-popping production, but when you look at the size, when you look at the speed, when you look at the athleticism on film, you wonder if it was a scheme sort of situation where he was asked to do specific things. Watson shows, he's got next-level athleticism. He showed that today.
Yeah, James Williams, the safety from Miami, going to the linebacker. He's an interesting watch, and I thought Javon Buller did a couple of nice things, too.
Yeah, Williams was, I mean, he's a guy you got to watch. I mean, 6'5", he's maybe, what, 219, 220 pounds at Miami, where he played safety, more of a strong safety guy. He played big and tough, came here at 230 pounds. So you got to watch. You know he can cover. You know he's athletic. How's he going to stack against the run? How's he going to shed against the blocks? Is he constantly getting caught up in traffic? Those are the things we're going to watch with Williams the next couple days.
Absolutely. We'll go to the offensive side and a defensive back, a receiver and a defensive back that went against each other a couple times over the course of practice. I know you're a big fan of Andrew Phillips on the defensive side. And then another guy with NFL pedigree, Jamari Thrash out of Louisville, just – you know, I don't think the traits jump off to you really, but he just knows how to play the position of wide receiver.
I think both of those guys played better here today than what you see on film. They flash on film. Thrash was pretty much unstoppable today. He made a lot of big receptions in the intermediate and the deep field, made a lot of nice catches, and Andrew Phillips came up with a lot of nice stops. There was inconsistency in those guys' games on the film. Very good day, first day of Senior Bowl practice.
All right, let's jump back now to the early practice here as the wind blows my notes all over the place, Tony. Let's go to the offensive line. I thought Jackson Powers Johnson might have been the best player here today. Played guard, played center, and he didn't just win his reps, he dominated them.
First of all, he looks the part. I mean, he's got a thick lower body. He's got big, broad shoulders. Even in those shoulder pads, you look at him, he looks like a next-level offensive lineman.
He's got those pads that are like up to his ear holes on his helmet.
And then he was just dominant today. And there's no other way to say it. He was dominant, and he's not just a small area pound-you-the-guy type of blocker. He was able to move well on his feet, gets out to the second level. In my opinion, it's not a matter of whether Jackson Powers is the top interior offensive lineman, is the top center. It's does he do enough here to jump into the back end of round one, and if today is any indication, I think you got to say yes.
Yeah, and just when, you know, on those one-on-ones, when you meet the defensive lineman and the defensive lineman's coming forward, but then when he meets Powers Johnson, you see the jolt back, right, yeah, when he gets him with his hands, and it's just really impressive. You don't see that a lot from the offensive lineman.
Stops
that
him dead in his tracks.
Absolutely. One other guy who stopped a bunch of pass rushers dead in their tracks today was Talisi Fuaga. Again, yeah, he played just right tackle, yeah, today. He had a couple good one-on-one reps with Leitu Latu, who's the top edge rusher here probably from UCLA. Put him down right into the ground on one play. Once he gets his hands on you, he's going to dominate the matchup. Just such a powerful guy.
I mean, he stopped Latu snap after snap after snap in one-on-ones and even in team. I mean, Latu really didn't do too much. It looks like he needed a free shot at the ball because Fuaga did such a terrific job. You know, he's got to be more cognizant with his hands, got to consistently get his hands inside the defender, got him outside, but really good day from Fuaga. And he's, you know, sort of like Powers Johnson, not a small area guy. He's not a guy whose feet are stuck in cement, showed some movement ability.
And at 33 3/8 inches on the arms on the measurement, that's long enough to play right tackle. We'll talk about another guy that maybe that's going to be a question about. Another guy I pointed out, and I thought he started practice really strong, Tony. He seemed to almost slow down a little bit as practice went along, and that's Kingsley Suamatai out of BYU. I thought he was pretty dominant early, but then he lost some reps late to Leetu Latu.
Looked like he was tiring late in the practice, and what happened is at the end of the practice, like they do sometimes, the coaches do one-on-ones to see which team wins, and they do the one-on-ones between the defensive backs and the receivers, and they did the one-on-ones between Latu and the BYU tackle, and that was the only time today that the BYU tackle got beat, because he played a lot of right tackle, which is something to keep an eye on, because everybody thinks he's going to be a left tackle next level. Played a lot of right tackle here and did it very effectively, especially early in the practice. Good movement skills, can slide out, anchors at the point, a lot of upside. You can see he's a guy that he's got the tools. I think he's going to go late first round, but he's one of these offensive tackles that is probably going to be better 2 or 3 years down the road than he's going to be as a rookie.
And then one player that I wasn't familiar with, Tony, I got to be honest with you, that before I came to this game, I had not watched him. Illinois offensive lineman Isaiah Adams. Measured in 6'4", 316, 33 and a quarter inch arms. He played guard. He played tackle. He lost one or two reps, but when he won, he's strong. He's powerful. He did a really nice job.
And that's what he did at Illinois. Played guard, played left tackle, played right tackle, wherever they needed him, depending on the situation. And he was dominant today. I mean, he dominated opponents, drove guys into the ground. He's a powerful guy. He moves relatively well. I don't know that you're going to use him as a zone blocker. He's more of a power gap type of guy. But, you know, he looks the part. He plays the part. He was highly rated coming into the season. Got third, fourth round grades. Definitely look like a day two pick here today.
I'll throw one other guy out there, Tony. I thought Florida center Kingsley Igwokun, I think is how you pronounce the last name. And the reason I want to point him out, a lot of these modern-day centers now are smaller guys that want to move, right? They don't have a lot of power. He had strength, and he's squat, he's strong. He got to the second level during team on one run play, and I like to see the bigger center there that can maybe do something against some of these bigger nose tackles that are coming out.
He is a wide-body guy who plays big football. I mean, Florida had a lot of problems last year. There's not a lot of talent there to look at for the draft. He played very well today, and you know, it's not a deep center class, so there is some availability to stake your claim to being, you know, a mid-round choice at the position. I think so far he's done it. We'll see how he does the next 2 days.
And, you know, the offensive line class did so well, Tony. The defensive lineman maybe didn't show up as much as you would like, but one player that I'm not sure a lot of people expected would show out today is Dwayne Carter out of Duke, 6'2". He measured in at 308, which I think was a little bit heavier than people thought he would, but he showed the ability to get upfield pretty well during practice today.
You know, when you talk about Duke, everybody talks about the left tackle, Grant Barton. But Carter was a guy who, he's sort of Brandon Fisk-like in that he's relentless. He goes hard and he makes plays, and I agree with you. His playing weight was probably closer to 290 than it was 300. So you look at him, he's more of a one-gap, three-technique type of guy, fundamentally sound, plays with great pad level, uses his hands well. And like you said, you know, a lot of people really weren't paying attention, yet all he did was make play after play after play today consistently against the likes of, you know, they had Jackson Powers Johnson in the middle, they had some Isaiah Adams in the middle, so he was going up against real good competition and making plays.
All right, let's jump to some of the skill position guys, Tony. Let's go to wide receiver first. Both of us were very impressed with Roman Wilson. Just such an adept, advanced route runner. He's quick in and out of his breaks. He's got excellent hands from a big-time program. That, by the way, didn't pass the ball a lot. You put him in a program that throws the ball 40 times a game instead of 20 times a game, the numbers are probably better. But Roman Wilson was basically uncoverable today.
You know, we'll talk about the receivers from the Shrine game in a bit. They were smaller, quicker guys that could not be covered. That's what Roman Wilson showed today. The defensive backs looked like they were pirouetting. They were twisting. They were playing a lot of catch-up because he beat them off the line. He separated through his routes, and he's a good pass catcher. Plays with great balance, body control, consistently extends his hands to make the reception away from his frame. Real good day one from Roman Wilson, who had some injury issues at Michigan. You're looking at him, you know, right now as a slot receiver, return specialist. You know, maybe he's a guy that you can line up on the outside on a consistent basis.
Visa uses advanced AI to help stop fraud, so Brie can be all slurp, no worries. Yum.
Absolutely, and then there was a secondary player on that side that also stood out. Quinnen Mitchell, who we thought was going to be the top cornerback of the players here. And, you know, sometimes you show up, you have high expectations, then you look and you're like, that guy didn't do as much as I wanted him to do. Well, Quinnen Mitchell was all over the football.
Yeah.
He had about three or four pass deflections, showing off his length. And remember, he played a lot of off coverage at Toledo. Right. He's playing press here, and he's done a heck of a job.
And man-to-man coverage. The thing about it, when you watch the Toledo film, sometimes it's tough to really get your grip on Mitchell because opposing teams did not throw in his direction.
Right.
And there's been talk about Mitchell late first round. So I think he's come here realizing that if he has a good week, he's going to be a late first rounder. And you're right on the money. I mean, he was the best cornerback, you know, that we saw today.
Both teams.
Yeah, consistently making plays on the ball. He's got excellent length. He's supposed to be a guy that's going to run in the 4.3s. So he's got next level size. You see him real good in press coverage today. And, you know, if things continue this way, we're going to walk out of this week saying Quinnen Mitchell is going to be a guy who's going to go from pick 25 to pick 32.
One other guy I want to mention from the other team that I forgot to is Ladd McConkey. He ran some really good routes. He turned some corners around today. We didn't mention him on the previous team, but you can just see, you know, if you want the next Wes Welker, you know, that slot guy that's going to be really quick. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to run a sub 4.45 or anything like that. But boy, he was getting open today during those one-on-one drills.
And that's what he's known for.
Yep.
You know, Jordan Addison last year at this time, 6'1", 180 pounds, a 4.5 guy. That's what Ladd McConkey is, a guy who's not super tall, who's not super fast, but all he does is separate through defenders through his route running and then extends his hands, makes the reception away from his frame. You know, he missed games in the middle of the season because of injury, but a lot of scouts love McConkey. He came into the season with some second-round grades. And, again, you're right. You know, everybody's going to love Ladd McConkey, and then he'll go to the combine and run a 4.52. Everybody's going to forget about him, but you got to watch the film. You got to watch the way he separates, and he showed it here today.
One more skill position guy here at the Senior Bowl I want to touch on is Marshawn Loy, the running back at USC, 5'9", but 217 pounds. He's got some quickness and some juice to him.
Terrific quickness, caught the ball very well, showed the ability to evade defenders, create yardage, if you will, or the ability to create yards as best you can in a situation like this. He finds the hole and boom, he's gone. And he also showed the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, I think really helped himself. And again, a guy who really wasn't talked about much coming into the season in the scouting community.
No doubt about it. All right, let's go to the Shrine game, Tony. What really – I'll let you take this in whatever direction you want to start. What do you think at Shrine game really caught your eye? I thought, again, it was the offensive line groups that were pretty good.
Yeah, I would agree. First of all, we just got to tell everybody, Eric Galco, who I know has been on your show before, did a terrific job. It was at the Ford Center. It was with Dallas Cowboys facilities. It was just an outstanding job. I think the offensive linemen and I think a lot of the receivers, I mean, there were a lot of smaller receivers there that could not be covered. I mean, Casey Washington of Illinois, Malik Washington of Virginia, the other Washington whose name, Taj Washington
USC.
Of USC.
Yep.
These guys are small. They're under 5'10". They're maybe 180 to 185 pounds. They're not super fast guys. They're not going to run 4.3s or 4.4s, but they're so incredibly quick, and they run such great routes, and they make 90-degree turns without gathering into routes or losing any momentum, and they could not be covered. And they cost everything. Bob Stoops kid from Oklahoma, another one, smaller guy. And this is what the league is now. I mean, you don't have to be 6'2", 215, went out the contested throw. You don't have to run a 4.2. If you can separate through routes, you're going to be able to play at the next level. That's what a lot of these Shrine Bowl receivers showed. And then you take into the fact that a lot of these guys are going to be asked to double as punt returners. So if you watch the Shrine game, watch how these guys do on special teams returning punts, the Malik Washingtons, the Casey Washingtons, the Hodge Washingtons, and the Stoops.
Yeah, and Isaiah Williams returned punts there as well. Yeah. One bigger receiver, Tony, Cornelius Johnson from Michigan, 6'3", but even at that size, over 211 pounds, he showed the ability to separate, which sometimes for bigger guys it's tough, but he was able to do it.
You think Cornelius Johnson, you think a bigger guy who's going to win out for the contested throw, he is a bit of a long strider, a bit of a loper, but the fact is this, is he ran excellent routes, not just quickness, but technique-wise, stays low entering breaks, stayed low in the breaks, exiting breaks, consistently extended his hands to make the reception away from his frame, and on top of that, was able to out-muscle defensive backs to win out for the ball or just beat them down for the ball. Cornelius Johnson was a guy who 2 years ago was great as a day two pick by scouts. His game kind of fell off, went back for that second senior season at Michigan, won the national title. I think he's setting himself up, probably going to be a day three pick. but absolutely got it, makes an active roster on Sunday.
No question about it. Then just back on Malik Washington from Virginia very quickly. Such a good yak guy. He's not your classic NFL slot smaller guy. He's like you put Deebo Samuel in a compressor and turn him into a 5'9 player. He's got thick legs. He's going to be a lot of fun whenever he eventually gets
and what did
to
he
the
tell,
NFL.
What did he tell you in the interview you did with him? He goes, you know, people think the play starts when the ball's snapped. He goes, for me, the play starts when the ball's in my hands. And that's what that's further proof of what you said.
Absolutely. You can go check out those Shrine Bowl interviews again on the John Settle podcast. Go check that out. All right, let's go to the defensive backs, which you said wide receivers, right? So let's go to Quantes Stiggers, which is a really, really interesting story, yeah. Tony. Kid coming out of Canada, and he was the best corner at the Shrine game.
Actually went to Canada. Okay, what happened was is in 2020, he was slated to play at Lane College that has produced a few pros in the past couple of years. It was the COVID year. Had a situation where his father passed away, I believe, in a car accident. He got very depressed. No football. He left school. He was ready to give up football. His mother got him back into the fan-controlled league. Then he went to the CFL, and he was the most valuable player in the East.
Because he lost his college eligibility once he went to that fan-controlled league.
Exactly.
Yes.
He was the MVP of the East. He was an all-star. And what happens is, with the Shrine Bowl, throughout its history, they bring players from Canada in. And we used to joke about it that they were token Canadians because they all basically stunk, okay? Quintez Stiggers showed 3 days at Shrine Bowl practice. He's going to be a Sunday player. He's probably going to be a day two pick. He was good from the beginning where he was shutting down opponents, making plays on the ball, and he was good every single day. He's got excellent size. He's got terrific ball skills. What he did so outstanding, and we've talked about it before in the show, is he did a great job making plays with his back to the ball.
Yeah.
He was able to run downfield with the receiver, get his head back around, make a play on the football. Don't know what his 40 time is going to be. But I say, unless he throws down a clunker in the high 4.5s, low 4.6s, Stiggers is going to be a day two pick. And he's got starting potential. I mean, he showed it 3 days at Shrine practice.
Let's stick on defense. We'll work from the outside in now. Linebacker Easton Gibbs. He comes from a long tradition of Wyoming linebackers. Logan Wilson, Chad Mumma from a year ago. And boy, he doesn't look it, but he could cover. He had an interception, a couple pass breakups over the weekend.
Smaller compared to the guys who you just mentioned, who are more your tough stack against the run up the field guys. What Gibbs did so well is, and he was one of the few linebackers who was able to do it, was in coverage drills, he was breaking up passes against the tight ends. When they had a good tight end class against the running backs, they had some really quick running backs, and he was able to stay with them down the field, across the field, down the flanks, and made plays on the ball. You know, your prototypical 4-3 weak side linebacker, a guy who on the third down and passing situations, you put him on the field and he's going to cover the tight end. Did a real good job for 3 days during Shrine Bowl practice.
All right, any running backs or tight ends jump out to you at the Shrine game, Tony?
Yeah, Tip Ryman, the tight end from Illinois, 6'7", 271 pounds, had minimal production at Illinois because they never threw him the ball. He looked like a man amongst boys out there. I mean, he was a terrific blocker. He caught everything that was thrown to him. And I wrote this in my piece about Sports Geet about Ryman. He's a guy who's going to run at 270 pounds. He's probably going to run in the low 4.5s. People tell me he could get under 4.5. Now, he's not all the way there yet because he was kind of a piece player at Illinois who had the Isaiah Williams who talked about, had Casey Washington. But, wow, I mean, Ryman really impressed me with his play last week.
All right, let's go to the offensive line. I thought three interior guys really stood out. Two of them centers. Miami center Matt Lee I thought was very good. Hunter Norzad from Penn State, excellent. And then Mason McCormick, who played a little bit of center, even though he was a guard at South Dakota State. I thought he was the best offensive lineman there.
He's big. He's wide. He was your Jackson Powers Johnson, if you will, of the Shrine game in the sense that he looks the part, fundamentally sound. More of your, he doesn't move badly, but I think he's more of your power gap guy. Hunter Norzad, a transfer from Cornell, who is very workmanlike. He's not a great athlete, but he's technically sound. He's very intelligent, understands the game. Matt Lee, Central Florida transfer, who played at Miami last year, a smaller guy, but what was impressive about him was he was handling guys like Justin Rogers of Auburn, who had 40 pounds on him, on an every snap basis, and did a great job quarterbacking the offensive line. I love the leadership, the way he's making the calls, and he played well 3 days in a row. You know, Lee's a very late round pick, but I think the way he was able to hold the point and play with strength last week at the Shrine game, just a few days ago, I should say, really impressed scouts.
How about offensive tackles? I know you liked Walter Rouse out there. Anyone else?
Walter Rouse of Stanford, I thought, did an outstanding job. Primarily played right tackle, moved to the left side, had got beat once by the Charlotte pass rusher, but he seemed to learn from that. And he was very consistent and very good for 3 days. Walter Rouse gets the rap from scouts that he's a little bit soft. He didn't show any softness last week because he showed up at right tackle. He was mean and tough. And even when he got beat that one rep at left tackle, he came back and improved
yep.
and showed a lot of skills.
Won the next one.
Yeah. So, you know, you're looking at a day three pick. I don't know if he's going to be a starter, but the ability to play left and right tackle, all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at an inexpensive backup at the next level.
No question about it. Final thoughts, Tony, on what we've seen from a weekend at Shrine. We have one day at the Senior Bowl, and again, next week's episode, we'll cover the rest of the Shrine practices. We'll cover the rest of the Senior Bowl practices, the Senior Bowl game over the weekend. That'll be next week's episode. But from what we've seen so far, your overall thoughts here on the class, which I think we might break a record here for first-round picks at the Senior Bowl. It's going to be a lot of guys.
I think from a positive point of view, everybody talks about what a great offensive line class is going to be. And that's what we've seen so far.
Yeah.
We saw it last week at the Shrine Bowl. We've seen it day one here at the Senior Bowl. I think from a negative point of view, no quarterback has really stood out. No quarterback stood out at the Shrine Bowl. We're here day one. Michael Penix was up and down. Bo Nix was up and down.
Nix is probably the best of the group, you think, in day one?
Carter Bradley has been the best of the group.
from South Alabama.
Bradley was brought here primarily. Gus Bradley's son. You know, he's played at South Alabama.
Well, they always like to have at least one South Alabama here.
And a couple Troy guys as well.
For people that don't know, Hancock-Whitney is the stadium for South Alabama. So like to have one of those guys there.
So really, and we've talked about what a good, deep quarterback class we expect. And we talked about Bo Nix. This was his opportunity to really establish himself, you know, and move into the first round. I got to say, he hasn't done it day one in practice. You're going to have to do it the next 2 days.
A lot of times it takes these quarterbacks time to get used to their wide receivers, get used to the offenses. We've seen quarterbacks take big jumps from day one to day two. So we'll see if that happens when we get to practice on Wednesday and Thursday. Tony, this was fun, my man. We got two more days of practice to hang out.
Look forward to it.
I spent way too much time with Tony these last few days.
Boy.
I'm almost going to be sick of him here. It's not quite as bad as spending time with Paul Dottino, but it's close. Today's episode was brought to you by Visa. Visa looks at over 500 data points on transactions to help prevent fraud. So you can worry less and focus on your next podcast, which should be, and by the way, shop with Visa because security looks good on you. And the next podcast should be draft season coming up next week when we recap everything that happens at the end of the Senior Bowl. And, of course, again, check out the Giants Huddle podcast for a bunch of other content here. Player interviews from the Shrine Game. Player interviews coming up on Friday from the Senior Bowl. And we'll have maybe Thursday. And then we'll have one other draft analyst as well. So check all that out, again, on the Giants Huddle podcast as well as draft season as we continue to cover the draft. Thanks for being with us from Mobile, Alabama.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My check engine light's on.
That could hurt your gas mileage. The AutoZone free fix finder service can help find the fix for free.
Get in zone.
This whole report for free?
That's right. Printed and on your phone for free.
Get in zone.
But what if the fix is too tough?
We'll recommend a local shop. Fix finder, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone. AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.